Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in. Tonight I want to talk about something that has been weighing on me for a few months, and I've been going back and forth speaking about it and digesting it and dissecting it, but something happened recently and I really felt compelled to put this episode out. So without further ado, and this is likely going to be somewhat unpopular, I want to talk about the Prism Club at our schools in San Ramon Valley Unified School District. Welcome to the engine. So the Prism Club is an LGBTQ, essentially safe space. Okay, so some people describe it as an LGBTQ alliance or a confidential space. There are all kinds of different ways, but essentially the nature of the Prism Club is that they promote the idea of inclusion and acceptance and all of the things that, frankly, anyone should want, right? If you're not into the idea of acceptance and inclusion, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. We don't really have that much to talk about. But that's what the Prism Club is. And it is in elementary schools. Now, this is something that it's very difficult and it's a very loaded topic because it's not entirely clear how it's promoted. There's some discussion on a news report that it was promoted at lunch, or excuse me, promoted it privately and then delivered at lunch intentionally to avoid parent interactions. And then some people came back and defended it and said, no, it's not parent interactions. It's the fact that if we have the club at lunch, then, you know, more kids will have access to it. So, you know, people go back and forth, and there was enough there that I've always thought, like, I feel like people who make this and promote this club, their heart's probably in the right place, you know, and we're probably not trying to change, like, the landscape of the world, you know, things like that. And look, what do I know? I know very little, right? So I've been kicking this back and forth, but a couple things have happened, two specific instances that really shocked me, and I need to really express. The first happened months ago, and just to be polite, I'm not talking about anyone in particular. I'm not naming names or anything, but a friend of mine had a student who ended up becoming president of the Prism Club, and my friend found out about this when my friend's student came home and said, "Hey, I'm president of this club, and I was kind of, you know, encouraged to be president of it because, you know, who doesn't like inclusion and, you know, acceptance and stuff." And by the way, this is an elementary school person. And the guy was like, "Okay." He said, "Well, the problem is I didn't know it was an LGBTQ club. Like, nobody sat this student down and said, 'Hey, this is a club that is going to promote inclusion in sexual preference and orientation.'" And so this kid, who is very, you know, says vestite, dresses the way the gender, the person associates with the gender, and very heteronormative, you know, just an average person. I'm not saying a normal person. I'm saying an average person, just this average elementary kid, was like, I didn't really sign up for this. Like, this is not my idea. I don't really want to be president of this club." And it's not that this kid had any problem with any of the LGBTQ acronym, but the kid just said, "Hey, you know, this is just not my club. This is not, I don't really associate with any, like, yeah, I like inclusion, but, like, because I like inclusion doesn't mean I should be president of this club." And it became a huge problem. And what was very obvious from my friend recounting the issue is that the student was not wholly informed about what the club was before the student became very engaged in the club. And that led me down this rabbit hole of thought, which is kind of like, okay, to what degree do we have an obligation to inform students about what clubs are? So say there's, like, some, you know, fourth grade boy that, you know, they're saying, like, "Hey, do you want to join the Prism Club?" And the kid's like, "Oh, what's the Prism Club?" It's like, "Oh, well, it's where we celebrate inclusion and diversity and all that stuff." And he's like, "Inclusion, diversity, like, these are supposed to be great things, whatever." Do you have to tell them that it's explicitly, we celebrate inclusion and diversity with anything outside of essentially mixing LGBTQ plus? And again, I can't list everything because who knows everything. Do you tell them that? Or do you just tell them, like, no, we celebrate diversity and inclusion? Well, if all you're doing is celebrating diversity and inclusion, there's no reason to have a Prism Club. You can just have, like, a diversity and inclusion, and that could mean anything. Because, by the way, diversity and inclusion literally mean anything. So in order to have this club, you kind of have to expressly say it. So you say, okay, well, we're celebrating inclusion of heterosexual, homosexual, asexual, queer, and all of these other things. Now, if you were me in fourth grade, you kind of look at somebody and be like, what in the hell did you just say to me? Like, are you speaking Martian? What is this? And then again, to what degree do you have to actually explain? Or do you let the kid go home and just start asking questions of mom and dad over burgers? Say like, mom, what's queer? Like, because I wanted to join this club and they said this was a club to include, you know, queer and homosexual and heterosexual. It's like, wait, what? And again, I'm not advocating that anybody exclude anyone based on anything. You know, like, whatever, include everyone, fine. But if you're organizing a club, the school specifically organizing a club and populating it with the students, are you actually telling the students what the club is about? And if you are telling the students what the club is about, to what degree are you telling them what the club is about? Like, homosexual, let's take guys. So you're explaining to this fourth grade kid, it's like, oh, well, it's when two guys really like each other. Well, does the kid understand? It's like, well, look, I like Mike. Does that make me homosexual? Do they say no? Or do they say maybe? Right? So all of a sudden you have all of these problems with populating these clubs with students, young people that may or may not have any grasp on what they're jumping into. And it may or may not be the opinion of the parent that you're the person that should be explaining it, because you get into a lot of really clear, you know, quagmires very quickly when a fourth grader says, wait, am I gay? Like, you can't, if you're a teacher, do you get to say no? No, you don't get to say that. You don't get to say yes. So all of a sudden you say maybe. So here's this fourth grader who had no thoughts of anything but his peanut butter and jelly 5 seconds ago. And all of a sudden he's like, wait, you don't know if I'm gay or straight or queer or trans, or like, wait, what am I? Like, all of a sudden, these are questions. And I don't know that everyone in the community agrees these are questions that should be getting brought up by school. So there's that. Right. And that was one of the first things where I was like, oh, that's a mark against the Prism Club. But here's another more distressing problem that came up. A dear friend of mine came forward recently and said, look, I have a students in the Prism Club, and somebody came up to the parent and asked a very personal question about the student. And I'm not going to go into details about what the personal question was. And the parent said, well, the student has not reported that to me. And I love the student either way. And if the student told me that thing, you know, it's not a big deal. I wouldn't be surprised. To which the person responded, well, I met a student, this student's age, at the park, and I apologize for saying the student, but just bear with me. An adult meets another student off campus at a park, and the other student reports that that student does indeed know the student in question, and then starts divulging personal information about that student. So now, this parent of student A, right, the original student, is now learning information about student A from someone other than the parent, because there was an additional student, student B, in the Prism Club that was having these open conversations with the original student, student A, and is now telling random people at the park personal details about student A. And I'm not interested at all in telling you what those details are. But suffice it to say, this parent that I was speaking with was so upset for so many reasons, not having anything to do with the implications of what the student might feel or not feel, but the fact that there are now other students and other adults wandering about the community, having gotten this information out of this kid, and it is now getting reported like third or fourth hand back to the original parent. Well, how did this information come out of this kid? Was the kid encouraged to divulge it? Right? Did they sign some kind of release to not disclose anything and that got thrown out the window? Who were the adults here? And even if you want to give the adults the most charitable kind of assumptions and generous leanings here, it's like, okay, say the adult goes home and doesn't tell a single soul ever. I mean, I was volunteering in class the other day for my fourth grader, and I had to sign something saying I would not under any circumstances divulge any information about a fourth grader's math ability, even if it's to the individual parent. Like if there's this kid, Mike, that's in fourth grade and I happen to be, you know, I was volunteering and Mike's parents are like, hey, I heard that you saw Mike in class the other day. How's he doing? I had to sign something saying I would refer that person directly to the teacher. I would have to say it was something like, Mike is doing very well. His teacher is doing very well. If you have any further questions, you should ask that teacher. That's for volunteer math help. What kind of agreement are they signing for the Prism Clubs? That's one of the big things. Now, the value of the Prism Club, or one of the key values, is that there is an enormous fundamental problem. And the enormous fundamental problem is that people are in the closet, and fewer now than before. My brother is gay and has always been gay as long as he's ever known. And he told me when I was 14, and he was, I believe he was 18 at the time, and it was a very difficult thing for him, but he felt a lot better once he told me. And he told me story after story after story throughout the years about people who had been holding on to this thing, the incredible diseases that people develop because essentially of stress, they're just rotting from the inside out. And they end up getting sick, and they're holding on to these burdens, and they finally let it go, and it's like these ailments disappear. I mean, this is a real thing. So you don't want that. You don't want somebody to feel like they can't tell anyone who they really are, like they're living some lie. That's a horrible, horrible prison to live in. And because of that, you need to be able to talk about it. Well, that's the nature of at least what I understand to be the fundamental drive behind the Prism Club, which is like, look, let's get this out. Let's talk about it. Let's accept each other. Let's remind everyone that they're going to be accepted, that you can come out, that Matt can come out and say, I'm queer, or I'm bi, or I'm this, or I'm that, whatever it is, and people will love me nonetheless, and my classmates will accept me. Well, that's all well and fine. But you'd be a fool to think that one solution is wholly positive without any drawbacks. It's like installing solar on your roof. It's like, yeah, great, solar's all well and fine, but where do the panels go when they're dead? Where did you get the cobalt to put in the panels? Right? Like, where are you getting these minerals and precious metals, and who's manufacturing them? Are these coming from overseas? Or like, how are we doing this, right? Because and why is it so expensive? I mean, like, it's not just a perfect solution. And the Prism Club is not a perfect solution. And if you think it is, you're not paying attention. And one of the greatest issues is that you are potentially, one, persuading people to say, young people, to say things about themselves that either, A, they shouldn't be telling other random people, that are like 10, 11, 12. I mean, I'm not saying 10, 11, 12-year-olds are bad people, but they gossip and they elaborate and they spread falsehoods. And those can be hurtful, damaging things, if not even for the student, but for the parents. Or they get persuaded into saying something that's not even true. I have a dear friend who loves brown rice and soy paper on his sushi. I think it's disgusting. And any of our mutual friends listening that have ever been out of sushi will know who it is. But this guy orders brown rice and soy paper rolls when we go out to get sushi. And it's like, I suffered through it until I was like 35. And finally I was like, bro, I want white rice and seaweed. And he's like, oh, gross, bro. You eat seaweed. That's disgusting. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I do. I actually really enjoy seaweed on my sushi. And I was 35. I went along eating dry ass brown rice and crappy soy paper on like $25 rolls at Akira or whatever for years. You think if I was 12 and in the Prism Club and somebody came up to me and said, hey, are you like a boy for sure? Or are you more of like a they? Like, you don't really know. And like, it's totally cool to not know. Like, by the way, like three or four of these people in here, they don't know. They go as they. They don't know if, you know, they're a boy, girl, or whatever. So they're just, until they know, they're just going to say, I don't know, just call me they, because I'm not sure. I guarantee you. I would have been like, well, I mean, yeah, I guess I don't know for sure. And like, if that guy who I respect says he's a they, so it's not a he. If that person who I respect is a they, then that person seems a lot more sure about a lot of things in life that I don't feel sure about. So yeah, I'll go they. Like, they. Call me they. What's the harm in that? Man, I guarantee you I would have said that. I guarantee you. And what I can't guarantee you is that anyone in the room would have kept it to themselves. What I can't guarantee you is, as much as we want the world to be filled with nice people, it would not necessarily have been nice. What I can't guarantee you is that I would have had the foresight and capacity and coolness to really understand the nature of what I was saying. And what I can't guarantee you is that it wouldn't have driven a wedge between me and my parents. Not because they would have thought differently of me if I said they, but because they now felt estranged from their son. They now felt like I couldn't tell them, that I had to tell other people, that other people were now, you know, my confidants. And man, I have three young kids. If something like that happened to me, I would be so distraught. I would be so upset. And it's not wholly self-evident that the benefit from all of this outweighs that pain. It's not completely self-evident that, you know, these clubs are doing what their intended purpose is, which is to lessen human suffering. Like, maybe they are, and God bless it if they are. That's wonderful. But we have to look at, you know, like net-net. We have to look at all aspects of it. You can't just say, hey, here in this club, fourth graders, fifth graders, sixth graders, seventh graders get to like say who they really are and just be like, oh my gosh, that's great. Well, maybe. Maybe if they're telling the truth. And maybe if the people listening don't do anything mean with that information. And maybe if you don't think it's going to cause any problems with the parents to introduce these ideas with them. And maybe if it's not going to actually screw up a relationship between a child and a parent, not because the parent's unaccepting, but now because the parent feels like they're on the outs and some random school club leader's on the in. Like, look, I have said it before. Like, I went to the Pride Parade when I was 14 years old. I am wholly in support of people doing what they feel is best for them. Because I'm going to do what's best for me. I'm going to do what feels right for me, like 100%, 100%. But to just think that making a club where anyone gets to say anything and it's a safe space and it's all wonderful and it's all confidential, man, you're just lying to yourself if you think this comes without a cost. And what's really bad is the cost for the people that are actually calling the shots. The cost for the district and the cost for the parents might lead to such great tension that at some point it becomes too burdensome. Parents are pissed off. The administration is taking heat. And all of a sudden we lose even baseline support. You know, there's a large push for people to just go back to the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. leave all of this other stuff behind. And if we go too hard in one direction, if we push for progress too quickly and too haphazardly, and we don't listen to the pain and the hurt and the cautionary leanings from some people that may even be sympathetic, if we don't listen to that, man, instead of going 2 steps forward, we might end up going 10 steps backwards. The Prism Club is not a completely innocuous, you know, carefree, all-pro, no-con situation. This is a really loaded and potentially troublesome group, organization, club, whatever you want to call it. Not troublesome because it wants to promote inclusion, but at the very least troublesome because some parents might start to feel excluded. And if parents get excluded from their kids, there is no telling what's going to happen. I'm Matt Todd, and this is Engine That Drives Me. Go out and crush it. This podcast is brought to you by Crushwell, the absolute premier vodka seltzer, available locally, as well as AJ Tutoring, your best resource for not just K-12 prep, but also professional and college assistance.